This brief encounter between Jesus, Martha, and Mary is one of those passages that tends to hit people sideways, especially hardworking people. It hits a little bit sideways to try to figure out what it is that Jesus is saying. Here's the scene. Jesus is going from town to town, village to village, preaching and healing. And when he comes to this particular village, he's invited into the home of Martha. Now, Luke doesn't tell us all that much about who Martha and Mary are, but we learn from John's gospel that they have a brother named Lazarus, and maybe that'll begin to kind of ring a bell. You remember the story of Lazarus, where they send word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus is sick. Jesus is delayed, and he gets there. Lazarus has died and has been in the tomb several days, and Jesus raises him from the dead. John also fills out the picture for us a little bit and tells us that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, you might be thinking, well, I thought Jesus loved all of God's little children. Well, Jesus does love all of God's little children, but what John is helping us to understand is in Jesus' earthly ministry, he had just a special relationship, a close relationship with this particular family. So Jesus comes into this village. We don't know exactly what the chronology, which happened first, but he has a relationship with his family, and he's welcomed into Martha's home. While Martha is playing the role of host, Jesus never misses a teaching opportunity, so he begins teaching in her home. And Martha's sister Mary is there down at Jesus' feet, eating up every word. Martha, on the other hand, is working, hosting, playing host after all, doing what she was supposed to do in terms of being a good host to Jesus. But Luke tells us that she's not just busy, but that she's distracted. And the question is, distracted from what? In Martha's effort to do something for Jesus, she's distracted from hearing from him. And Jesus has something that he wants to give to Martha, a gift, but she's too busy to receive it. And so Martha goes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." And with that one little question, Martha has opened up her heart a little bit. Lord, do you not care? Now, what does that reveal about Martha's heart? Well, I guess it reveals several things. You know, she has a priority on serving. She's trying to serve Jesus. Maybe she's a little bit resentful of her sister Mary. But I think, as important as those things might be, I think the deep issue here is that she does not know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord does indeed care for her. In fact, he cares for her more than anyone else on the whole earth. But she is too busy and at this point in her life, too blind to see it. Lord, do you not care? Martha, Jesus cares for you more than you could possibly imagine. Martha, the Lord says to Martha, he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, it's been my experience that the Marthas of this world, and by Martha, I'm not just talking about women, I'm talking about all hardworking people, busy people. And this church is full of hardworking people. Busy people. My experience as a pastor is that when the Marthas of this world, and some of you Marthas, I, you know, sometimes can be a Martha, when we hear this passage, it stings a little bit. Especially when there's a big bake sale around the corner. There's work to be done. No, it stings a little bit because it feels like Jesus is sort of judging Martha, maybe putting her down a little bit, and here she is trying to serve him. But what we need to understand, what we need to hear this morning, is that these words of Jesus, they're not words of judgment, they're words of compassion. Martha is anxious about many things because she's missing the one thing that she actually needs, that all of us need. In her heart of hearts, Martha does not know, she does not really believe that Jesus cares for her more than she could even imagine. So when Jesus rebukes her, he's not putting her down. He's not just running defense for Mary, who's there at his feet. No, Jesus is extending a challenge. It's an invitation for Martha to choose a better way, a life-giving way. Now, I want to be sure that we understand this point. Maybe I've made it already, but I want to make sure we get it. Jesus isn't saying here that his followers are supposed to sit around all day, you know, reading the Bible, meditating, never lifting a finger. To the contrary, listen to what Jesus said just one chapter prior. A person came up to him and said, "Jesus, I would love to be your disciple." Listen to what Jesus said in response. He said, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, friends, when Jesus talks about a plow, he's not talking about something that, you know, you hitch behind your John Deere tractor and you sit on the tractor and, you know, while the thing in the back goes. He's talking about dirty, dusty, sweaty, hard work. You want to be my disciple? Then you need to be ready to put your hands to the plow. So when Jesus rebukes Martha, he's not saying that being a disciple means that we sit around all day. To the contrary, he's made it quite clear that being a disciple will involve you in hard work. Work that will sometimes make you wonder, how in the world did I get into this? So what's the problem? The problem isn't that Martha is working too hard. The problem is what's motivating it. If you want to learn the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach Martha, that's trying to teach us here this morning, the question you have to ask yourself is, what drives me to hard work? Beloved, what drives you to hard work? Now, when I think about the things that drive us to hard work, I think that for many persons, not all, but I think for many persons, for many of us, we spend the first half of our lives working for an image of what we think life ought to be like. Now, you may not have articulated it that way, but I think many of us are driven to achieve some sort of picture. Maybe it's a family or a career or a home or a car or a certain standard of living. And it's not that those things are bad in and of themselves. They're not bad. But if we're missing the one thing that is needful, if we are not living our lives in a joyful, blessed assurance that Jesus does indeed care for us more than we even care for ourselves, if we're missing that one thing that is needful, then we set ourselves up not only for a life where we are anxious and troubled about many things, as Jesus said to Martha, but when we're driven to achieve that image, we set ourselves up, I think, for the dreaded midlife crisis. Now, when I was younger, I used to roll my eyes at this whole, you know, midlife. Come on, that's a bunch of baloney. The midlife crisis. What? But now that I'm passing through middle life, and I see all sorts of people in my own life who have been living their life without the one thing that is needful, as Jesus puts it, I've stopped rolling my eyes at the midlife crisis. Because without the one thing that is needful, it really is a crisis. And here's how it happens. As I said, if you want to understand what Jesus is driving at here, you have to ask yourself the question, what is it that drives me to hard work? And I see many of us are driven to hard work again to achieve that image of what we think life ought to be like. The house, the car, the family, the occupation, the prestige. But when a person reaches middle age and looks back on the first half of his life, if he has been working hard to achieve that image of what he thinks life ought to be like, typically one of two things will happen. Some will have achieved that image. But when he looks around and scratches his head and he's there at the middle of his life, he says, well, now what? And a nagging realization will begin to settle in. He begins to realize that everything that he has worked for, everything that he has strived for, even if he's managed to create that perfect image, everything he's worked for in a matter of time, be it years, be it decades, everything he's worked for will be gone at some point. For most of us, in 100 years, nobody's going to remember our names. I've been working on doing a little home maintenance, home repair. You tell you, you do that for a few years, you try to keep a house up, and you realize, you know, if somebody just left this thing alone for, I don't know, a couple of years, I mean, it's going to be falling over. You get to middle life, and then there's this nagging question. I've spent the first half of my life working for this image trying to achieve it, and it's going to be gone one day. What's it all for? Now, these are deep, hard questions, and I think there are a lot of people who reach midlife and they just try to avoid them. But avoiding them doesn't make them go away. So, some are driven to hard work to try to achieve some image, and they reach midlife, and they manage to achieve that image. But if they don't have the one thing that is needful, they've set themselves up for a crisis. But perhaps, as is more often the case, a person works and enslaves to achieve that image, be it family or career or standard of living, and when he gets to the middle of his life, he hasn't achieved it. And is crushed by that reality that all that hard work, all of that labor, what was it for? Still others are driven by hard work. Again, looking at the question, what drives people to hard work? Still others, I observe, are driven to hard work by a different dynamic. Some grew up, sadly, in an environment, and perhaps this describes some of us here this morning. Some grew up in an environment where you felt like you never measured up. Maybe you grew up with parents who weren't particularly kind and affirming. Maybe who were just never satisfied, no matter how hard you worked. And maybe they simply just weren't able to communicate to you their approval in a way that you could hear. Whatever the reason, some are driven to hard work, not because they're trying to achieve a particular image, but because they're just trying to measure up. And I've seen adults, even after their parents die, if they don't discover that one thing that is needful that Jesus is talking about, then their need for approval, even after their parents dies, it simply gets transferred from their parents to someone else. Their spouse, their boss, their children. The question that Martha, beloved, the question that we need to ask is this: what is really driving me to hard work? Martha is anxious and troubled. She is resentful, maybe a little bit jealous. She's driven to hard work. Why? At the heart of it is this one deficiency. She doesn't know the answer to the question, Lord, do you not care? Beloved, of everything that you see and know in this world, none of it will last forever except for what's in here. And what's in here, after it's all said and done, really only needs to know one thing. Without that one thing, we spend our lives working and slaving for that which doesn't last forever. Without this one thing, we are troubled and anxious about many things. But when you sit there at the feet of Jesus and learn there at the feet of Jesus that what's in here is the only thing that lasts for eternity, and that God loved you so much, cares for you so much, that he was willing to die for you, well, then that changes everything. The only thing worth working for, the only thing worth striving for, is in here. And in there. That which brings us and others to the feet of Jesus, where we can learn the truth that God cares for us more than we could ask or imagine. Beloved, what's driving you to hard work? Are you anxious and troubled by many things? Do you find yourself resentful, maybe even at times jealous? Well, if that's you, Jesus wants to give you a gift. A gift that in the end is the only thing that really matters. And it's the answer to the question, Lord, do you not care? Beloved, sit at his feet and he will tell you, I care for you more than you could even imagine. I care for you for eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit, I pray, to open up our hearts, to give us the courage to ask the question, what is driving us to hard work? Give us the courage, Lord Christ, I pray, to ask that question. And if the answer be anything but to serve and honor you in joy and peace, if we find in our hearts that we are driven by a desire to, well, just to work for things that don't last forever, Lord Christ, please show that to us by your Holy Spirit. And give us the grace, I pray, to sit at your feet and there to learn the truth, the one needful thing, that you care for us more than we could ask or imagine. Lord, fill our hearts with the light of that truth, for we pray this in your precious and powerful name.